Hello, everyone. It's your Like Mother, Like Murder hosts.
And we just wanted to remind you that our Mother's Day merch is up on our website at likemotherlikemurder.com.
So if you guys are still looking for that special something for all the moms in your life, head on over. We have some custom stuff designed by yours truly.
That's me. Get it, girl.
That's me,
That's
guys.
You. Yeah.
And Joel. Joel helped too.
That's true. Go, Joel.
By us truly. All right. Go check it out. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Okay. Love you. Bye. Welcome back to Like Mother, Like Murder.
Like Mother, Like Murder.
I did it.
You did it. You did it. It's only been 100 episodes and you went first. Happy 100 episodes to us and to everyone who has been here.
Thank you, everyone.
Riding this journey with us. Yes.
100.
Man, so exciting. What a wild ride.
Super wild. Do you see my cat right now?
Benny has been here.
He wants to be here to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. He's our little cat manager right there and has been here throughout the whole process. So he belongs here for episode 100. You guys, yeah. It has been kind of unreal, honestly. Like,
did we
think we were going to make it to 100? Yes, because we already said
we knew
that we weren't going to stop. But the fact is that we actually did it. It's such a big deal. So like I said earlier, one freaking second ago, thank you for any of you guys that have been here, that keep coming back, that are listening, that are supporting us in any way, whether that's talking to us, listening to us, commenting, reading, reviewing, sharing with your friends, whatever it is. We truly, from the bottom of our hearts, appreciate it and thank you guys so much, because this would not be the same without all of you guys.
Yes. I was trying to find like stats on episodes like 100, because you know they it's some crazy stat that like only like 10% of podcasts that start even make it past like 5 episodes or something.
You know who has
like
those statistics?
Scott. I know he has like all of them. We need to ask him after 100, like how many people make it to 100?
I think the new question is, after you get to 100, how many of those people start another podcast? Because
true.
Wink wink, guys. Wink wink.
True.
Stay tuned for that. No announcement yet, but just sit there and wait for it.
Sprinkling on that little.
We're just going to start layering it in until it's there. So a couple things before we get into today's episode. So happy Tuesday, you guys. On Thursday, we are going to be dropping a little bonus for you guys. This being our 100th episode, it's a big deal for us, and we kind of want to celebrate it in our own fashion, but not on our Tuesday episode drop day. That is where we try to keep our meaningful episodes and the ones that are like Mother, Like Murder, not just Rachel and Heather bullshitting. That'll come on Thursday.
Oh, for sure.
So if you guys want to tune in for that, just to kind of like hear about podcasting in general, how it's been over these last 100, and you know, all of that, just a fun little drop for you guys. So listen and come say happy 100 to us. And then another reminder tomorrow,
I was gonna say,
yes, go ahead,
you doing something we've never done before either to celebrate 100.
Yes,
is we will be going live tomorrow, April 24th,
yes,
at 6:30 California. Pacific, whatever you want to call it, and 9:30 Kentucky.
Yes. That's our time zone, Callie and Kentucky.
Not only will we be going live on Instagram, but this is an extra special kind of live because we will be telling you a case.
Yes, we will.
If you missed it last week on what our case is, it is the one, the crazy.
Yes. Sherry Papini.
Sherry Papini. Oh,
man. Yeah.
If you live in California, you probably have heard of this case. It was big. I mean, it was national news, but like obviously because it is a California case. And if you haven't heard of it, don't look it up yet. Just tune in tomorrow because pew,
bam.
It's a what the hell is going on type of case.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. It really is. It really is. And, you know, being the mom cast that we are, the fact that we haven't covered her yet is a big deal. But also, it's just that bizarre. So I said, what are we going to do for 100? I know the exact thing we should do for 100.
Because both of us were on the same vibe. Like, we're going to be going live, we can't have, like, something that's going to make us cry because we don't want to be crying on our live. We do that enough on our regular shows. Right. Like, we
want you to see it.
Yeah, like, I don't need to be like, So we wanted something that would not make us cry and would be, I'm not going to say it'd be fun to talk about.
No.
Because, like, none of the cases I would say are, like, quote unquote fun. But it's definitely one different. Of those ones where you can look back and say, I mean, no one died, and it's just, I mean, it's...
You'll see.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Stay tuned for that. You'll see
Stay
tomorrow
tuned.
Night. Join
tune
us.
Tune in tomorrow.
Stay tuned. Before we get into today's episode, which is actually out of California, my dear, what are you drinking? I have coffee this morning. I needed it, so...
I am just... drinking water because I did not drink enough water yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And I've had two coffees already today. It is only 10:30 in the morning, and I need my hydration.
I love how I'm like, I'm having coffee this morning. It's 1:30. I did have coffee this morning, though.
It still feels like 1:30 to you, man.
Yeah, it's fine. We're drinking our coffee. So cheers to that, you guys. Cheers.
Cheers to 100. You know, cheers. I feel like this is obviously special. 100 episodes deep. But I feel like for Wednesday... for our live, you and I need to coordinate like a really good drink with an awesome, because we really need to cheers it up with everybody.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll do that. Yeah. We shall do that. A yummy, yummy, dranky drink.
Yes.
Love making our drinks. All right. You ready for this?
I'm so ready. I'm ready for this.
Okay. Let's do it. So today I am going to be telling the disappearance and then murder case of Rachel Castillo. Mm. This is a more recent case. Rachel Castillo was last seen November 10th of 2022 at her apartment in Simi Valley, California. And
Ooh,
was found
right
deceased.
Me.
It is. Yes, it is. And was found deceased 3 days later in the Antelope Valley.
Wait, what? Right. How have I not? This is like, what?
So saying all of that right there, you guys, a couple things. So Heather and I met while living in the Antelope Valley, all right, where Rachel Castillo was found. We were both We were both in the Southern California area, you know, when we met each other. And now she's still in California. And like she said, it's nearby Simi Valley. I'm out in Kentucky, but for episode 100, I'm bringing missing mom. The name is Rachel, and she's found in our old stomping grounds.
That
so connection-wise, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This hits
But it's
home.
Also a story that definitely needs to be shared.
Yeah.
And, you know, another comment real quick that I want to make is we were podcasting then. That was kind of like when we were just beginning. We started the podcast in 2022, summer of 2022. So for her to go missing in November of 2022, she is a mother of two children.
Right.
And I have never heard of it. So I'm not doing as much digging as I should be. And also things are not being as publicly, you know, put out there as they should be. If this is something that I missed, being from the area, also right. literally talking to everyone, I'm still on the scanner page in the Antelope Valley, my right. friends. So how in the world did I miss this? I do not
True.
Know. But anyways, we are going to get into it. So Rachel Castillo was a mother of two. She was living in an apartment with her sister at the time in Simi Valley. Her father, Chris Castillo, says that she was the youngest of his three daughters and that Rachel was a go-getter, a hard worker, and an overachiever. She was raised Catholic and attended St. Rose of Lima School in Simi Valley and La Reina High School in Thousand Oaks. Little note right there. Joel went to St. Rose of Lima School in Simi Valley.
No way.
Yes,
oh another my connection. Gosh.
Yep. So she attended La Reina High School before receiving a full scholarship to UC Santa Cruz to study psychology and then taking a job at a social services nonprofit. Rachel's mother talks about how she was attending Pepperdine University's grad program and she was hoping to get into marriage and family therapy following in her mother's footsteps.
Wow.
All of this, all of that schooling, all of that stuff that she's doing, everything, and also a mother of two boys.
Oh, my God.
They were 2 and 5 at the time of her disappearance.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Too many connections right there.
Let's back up on the connections in case you guys are wondering. Me.
Yes.
Cal State Long Beach, psychology major, grad school in psychology, 2 kids, currently 2 and 4.
Yep.
Like in living in, I mean, I'm not in Simi Valley, but literally I drive 5 miles that way and I'm in Simi Valley.
Yep.
Like this is crazy.
Right.
Hi. My name is Joe, and I'm the host of Tales, Trails, and Taverns. In this show, Rob and I like to take an active approach by hiking out to haunted, creepy, and abandoned places. We love the adventure and discovering the dark history of the locations we visit. We release a new episode every Friday on Apple, Spotify, and Patreon, as well as bonus episodes on varying Tuesdays. But don't just take my word for it. We have great listeners who have left some awesome reviews.
Oh, I love adventure, but during those times when I can't get to the Outback, oh, I like to listen to Tales, Trails, and Taverns. Those boys dig deep into the dark history, and their first-hand experiences really delivers the excitement. This podcast is a beaut.
Back when I was the governor, I didn't have time to listen to podcasts. But now that I'm retired from politics, I can focus on my two passions, pumping iron and listening to Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is that we all listen to Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
I love listening to the podcast. Wait, what's a podcast again?
It's an audio show you listen to.
Oh, like on the radio?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay. I love listening to Tulips and Tiddlywinks.
It's Tales, Trails, and Taverns.
And what do you do again?
Hike to scary places and drink beer.
Sounds terrifying. Okay. I like to listen to Terrifying Tea Time, but not on the radio.
Okay, thank you. You did great.
You're welcome. Say, you're kind of cute. Is there a Mrs. Tales, Trails, and Taverns?
No, you get it?
No actual celebrities or political figures have endorsed Tales, Trails, and Taverns. All the reviews you've heard were written, poorly, by the host, George Lennox, as well as the impersonations of celebrities, politicians, and movie characters. I meant no harm. Please don't sue me.
Yes, it is. And like I said, for both of us to not have really...
I have not heard of this.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about missing persons, right, and those who have been murdered, and... None of that looks the same, okay? There's no one race, there's no one gender, there's no one background, but any of it, all of it, is absolutely horrific. And whether the person has their GED or their master's, whether the person has a job or no job, whether the person's religious or not, whether they're tall or short or black or white or whatever, it is not another person's position to take their life. Obviously, we know that. Yet this is still fucking happening every single day. And it's awful. It is awful. And, you know, one of the reasons that we're having these conversations and the true crime community in general is, you know, making sure that those people are found and locked up and held accountable for their actions because of stuff like this.
Yeah, 100%.
Anyways, back to this mother, this beautiful soul. Rachel Castillo was last seen November 10th, 2022 by her sister who lived in the apartment with her and her two sons. It was her sister, Emily. She had returned home and said that she found quite a disturbing scene. She could tell that something had happened in the apartment complex. There was a lot of blood. She immediately went looking around for her sister, but nothing. She ended up calling her mom, telling her to get over there as soon as possible, and she called 911. The police came, and they saw a significant amount of blood, and that is when the, you know, initial search for Rachel began. That day, Rachel was supposed to be working from home for a social services agency, and everything of hers, all of her belongings were still at the apartment, her phone, her keys, her vehicle, all of it. The Simi Valley Police Department entered Rachel into the missing persons system immediately, right then and there. Obviously, I mean, there's blood, there's things that show to, you know, foul play. So it's definitely time to start acting on things. And they had the Simi Valley Police Detective Bureau take over the case. The main suspect in the case right off the bat was her estranged husband. His name is Zarbab Ali. We don't care about his name. He was the father to the two children. Every Thursday, he would go and pick up the kids, which it was a Thursday that Rachel was last seen. He did come to pick up the kids per usual. You know, we talk about this all the time. This is not something that is new. We all know that in any missing person's case, you look at the people close, you know, close to you. You look at husband, ex-husband, whoever. That's how it goes. And that's exactly what happened here. 2 days after she went missing, he posted on Facebook. It was November 12th. If anyone knows anything, please call the Simi Valley Police. And he posted a picture, he posted a link of Rachel Castillo's disappearance. Zarbab Ali, also known as Bobby, which we're not going to refer to him as that because we don't like him. So we're going to continue to call him his government name of Zarbab. He was a school teacher. Rachel and Zarbab got married in 2021. And then in March of 2022 is when Rachel filed for divorce. As I had previously stated when talking about all of the amazing things that Rachel was doing, you know, already accomplishing and working towards, one of the things that she focused highly in her work and through nonprofit organizations was helping domestic violence victims, working with battered moms. Rachel's father said in an interview that when Rachel and Zarbab were together, they had some difficulties during the relationship. Her mother, Robin, Rachel's mother, told ABC News that just 2 days, so on November 12th when he had done the Facebook posting, that after she had gone missing, like I said, Zarbab had went and picked up the kids on that Thursday. He took them back to his place. He was living with his parents in Victorville at the time. And she had messaged him and just had a very normal conversation with him. And she was checking on the two kids and just, you know, obviously she's going through a lot. Her daughter is missing. She knows that that's the ex and the kids are there. So she's just there checking in. He ends up FaceTiming her with the grandchildren. She said that the whole conversation was normal and that she truly did not expect it to turn out how it did.
Uh-huh.
Which breaks my little heart. Because the next day, Sunday, November 13th, detectives located human remains in a remote location of the Antelope Valley that were later examined and identified to be Rachel Castillo.
My gosh.
I know. That night, well, that afternoon, after the body was found, they went straight to Zerbab Alley in Victorville, and he was arrested in connection to her disappearance and murder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was taken back to the Ventura County Sheriff's Office and booked there. He's currently there right now, being held without bail. He has court scheduled for 2 days from now, April 18th.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's a
so by the time this episode comes out, we may need to do a quick update.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I didn't think about that part. I think all of you guys hear me as I'm speaking.
What is the court date for? What kind
of... So there's two that I'll tell you about. So this one right here is a settlement conference. April 18th is a settlement conference, which for people who are learning like me is where, you know, most lawsuits that are filed never end up going to trial because the matter is settled between the parties before the trial date is reached.
Okay.
Okay. Dumb, guilty shithead anyways. Okay. Then a few days later, on April 22nd, he has his preliminary examination in court, which is just an abbreviated hearing that's held before the judge without the jury, which, again, it's the judge is going to examine the evidence and say, hey, guess what? You did this because mm-hmm. he's a dumb, guilty shithead. So he has court on April 18th and he has court on April 22nd.
Okay.
As of right now, it is alleged that Zerbab used a knife and is facing special allegations of lying in wait and using a deadly weapon in the homicide.
Oh, my God. What the frick?
Yeah. We hate him. Those two court dates, like I said, are upcoming this week. Locking him up for the rest of his life is only the beginning. The family is now working as hard as they can to help Rachel Castillo's two boys to heal and move forward from such a mm-hmm. tragic and awful thing. You know, losing their mother at the hands of their father. Why is this something that we talk about so often? It's so sad. It's so hard. It's nothing new. I mean, that sentence right there, losing their mother at the hands of their father or losing their father at the hands of their mother.
Yeah.
You know, either way is just, it's ridiculous. That's and
so crazy.
Seeing in interviews and reading the articles from her family and just, I mean, unless you've been there, you truly don't know. But seeing just how what they're trying to do, the mom talking, or Rachel Castillo's mom, so the grandma, talking mm-hmm. about, you know, taking the kids to the museums and taking them to the park and just trying to do anything to, you know, keep their minds off of everything and just love them and give them everything that they need in this mm-hmm. moment is amazing on their part. And I just hope they have all the support and love they need to be there mm-hmm. for them. Because mm-hmm. this grandmother lost her daughter, you know, and she's grieving as well as she's trying to take care of these kids. It just kills mm-hmm. me. It kills me. Rachel Castillo's father, Chris Castillo, he's a retired FBI employee. And in an interview with ABC, he said, "Here's a mom who divorced her husband, worked in a domestic violence prevention center, and worked with battered moms. And you know, it's kind of obvious why she probably divorced her husband," he said. "I mean, the guy ended up showing up and murdering you." I wasn't able to find any previous misdemeanors or felony charges on Zarbab Ali to, you know, say that he has this background of abuse or anything like that.
Right.
But Rachel's family, they come forward saying that they definitely had problems. Rachel filed for divorce for a reason. And now this. She was obviously trying as hard as she could to get away from him. She was working in the field of helping women who experienced or were experiencing domestic violence situations. She was trying to make a change. She was trying to make a difference in her life and in others. With that said, I asked Heather if she would read a couple sources for you guys. Okay. Sorry. She's like, but I can't right now.
I know. This makes me so upset. This is crazy. It's so crazy that we have not heard of this. And it is so, so, so close to home.
Right. It really is. And that shocks me. It really, really does. But it also, it doesn't shock me. The amount of people that we could talk about is endless and only growing larger and larger every single day. And yeah, like these connections to the location and, you know, all of those things. It does kind of shock, you know, it shocks us that we didn't hear of this. But it also, the same time, we're hearing about every other thing that's happening and all these other moms and all these other victims and all these other people. And there's too many. It's ridiculous. So
it is. Yeah.
So Heather, go ahead and do that.
Okay. So we wanted to provide a few resources for anyone who may be dealing with any form of domestic abuse or domestic violence, and or may know someone who needs help as well. So you can text HOME. That's HOME. To 741-741. And this will get you in touch with a trained crisis counselor through the crisis text line. It's a global nonprofit. It's open 24/7. It's free. It's confidential. Or you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. Again, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we will definitely make sure that we put this in our show notes. We will put it on our Instagram, like_mother_like_murder, and just make sure we have that available to anyone who may need it. And I have no more words. We will need to be doing, I mean, these are the kind of things that, like you said, like these are the stories we need, the cases that we need to like get out there, because people need to know about these cases. It, like you said, I cannot believe I have not heard of this case, and it is literally down the street.
Yeah. Yeah, it does blow my mind. It is. It's shocking, like you said. But then, I mean, the point I was trying to make is there's so many. So how we cannot hear of them all. And I'm thankful for every other, you know, podcast host or see, it's not even about the podcast. All the other people who are working to help these families. And yeah, like there's so many podcasters out there that are amazing and telling their stories and trying to bring these resources or, you know, trying to help however they can and with victim advocacy and stuff like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's great. But there's only two of us right here. And there's got to be so many more on board that are trying to help make a difference in this situation.
For sure.
With that said, the court is happening next week. So when you guys, literally the day that you guys listen to this, I think, is that the 22nd? I was trying to like use my brain. Yes,
it will be the 23rd, right?
Oh, yeah, because we go live on the 24th. Just kidding. So both of those court dates will have already passed. So it's going to be, it looks like it's going to be Friday and, no, Guys, I don't know dates. It's Thursday and then it's next Monday. The point is they will both be done and hopefully we can bring you just that confirmation of him getting locked up, him getting charged, him getting, you know, life because of his actions and just a little bit of justice served right there, hopefully. And if not, then what do? We ride at dawn. We figure out how the fuck we make that happen because okay? But the last thing, I know this is kind of short little episode for you guys. I never know how long these are going to be as we begin talking about them. Either way, it's still something that needs to be said. But I just want to say, you know, remember, love is respect. We love you. We respect you. And if you yourself or if you know anyone who needs help and you don't know how to go about getting that, please reach out to us. Please reach out to anyone you trust or to any one of those hotlines to get you the help that you guys need. Okay? You're valued. You're worth it. We adore the shit out of you guys. Okay? And we need you guys to know that.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. So That's really it, Heather. Short and
sweet. Oh my gosh!
I know. I'm sorry. It's just such a sad, sad.
Oh my gosh!
Situation. Her case and so many like hers.
Exactly.
We will like Heather said. We will have the hotlines that Heather said, among many others, because that's one thing that I want people to be able to know and learn, if anything, that there is help if you need it. So many people feel like, and rightfully so, I'm not going to tell you how to feel because, you know, no one can relate to what someone going through unless you've literally been through the same situation. But try to help yourselves. And if you need anything, try to find the people who can help you through it. So those will be up on the show notes. They'll also be on our Instagram. And that is it. So you guys, just again, we freaking adore you guys, okay? but until Thursday, well, until tomorrow, come and hang out with us on our Instagram Live where we cover Sherry Papini's story. All of its just craziness that it is. And then on Thursday, come hang out with us on the pod where we just talk about 100 episodes, guys. 100 episodes. Yeah. And this is actually going to be our shortest episode ever recorded. So you're welcome. Happy 100.
Well, we have tons of bonus stuff coming this week. So if you're missing us, obviously you can tune in to any of that.
That is for sure. Go and do that. And we will talk to you guys next Tuesday for our Tuesday drops. 101 is coming your way, 101. Baby. 101.
Are we going to keep counting? Because, like, are we going to literally get to, like, 179, 180? Like, it's crazy to think.
472. We're, like, grandmothers by then. Just kidding. That's aging very quickly.
I was gonna say, hold on, let me do the math now.
I can't count, it's fine. All right, you guys, we will talk to you guys then. Have an amazing, amazing day. And just know that we freaking adore you.
And we'll see you all tomorrow at our live.
Yes, we will. All right, until then, Kay, love you. Bye.
Kay, love you. Bye.
It is solvable. It was solvable 2 weeks after it happened.
March 25th, 2004, Cross Plains, Tennessee. Their last day? Jennifer, Jess, 21, stands in the kitchen of her boyfriend Joey Benton's family home, where she and her two-year-old daughter, Adriana Wicks, have been living. She has the only phone in the home in her hand and is on a call with her father. Jennifer expresses how the night before, she and her boyfriend's parents, Joe and Cindy Benton, had been involved in a very heated argument. In fact, it was so heated that Jennifer was still rattled from the night before. She moves the receiver down to talk to a muffled female voice coming from behind her. She then says goodbye to her father and hangs up the phone. And what happens next? Well, that's what we're here to find out, isn't it? Jennifer and Adriana Wicks have not been seen or heard from since March 25th, 2004. I'm a true crime investigative podcaster living in the same town where the Wicks girls went missing. Hi, I'm Jules, and I've teamed up with Jennifer's sister, Casey Robinson, to ask some big questions from our little hushed town that we've been too afraid to ask each other over the last 20 years. Where are Jennifer and Adriana Wicks? Small towns talk, and guess what? We're listening. Missing in Hushtown is coming 2024, wherever you get your podcasts. The entire first season will drop in August. We'll see you then.